checking it out. And we are going to continue with our message. Well, we're talking about choosing, continuing in our message series on anointing and how God chooses some of us for special tasks. When you think, when you look around at yourself in the world, it seems as if there's some people who are specially chosen for certain jobs, certain accomplishments, certain vocations in life. And it seems like sometimes these people are chosen for those things long before anyone can really predict where they will go in the end. Some people seem to have a purpose in life that's determined ahead of time. And for some people, this is really obvious. Let me tell you the story of a man named Buzz Aldrin. You've probably heard of him. He was the second man to walk on the moon. He flew together with Neil Armstrong, who was the first person to walk on the moon. And Buzz Aldrin is one of those people who kind of seems like he led a chosen kind of life. Buzz Aldrin's father was an Army aviator, later a business executive, and he wanted his son to enter military service, so he made sure that would happen. He enrolled his son in preparatory school. He was going to go to the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, until Buzz said, you know what, I get seasick, and my real love is planes anyway. So then he was enrolled in the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York. And through these efforts of his father, you could say that Buzz was chosen for U.S. military service. Well, he went, he studied, he graduated at the top of his class, and he was given the honor of choosing his assignment because of his academic achievement. So Buzz Aldrin joined the United States Air Force. He learned to fly high-performance fighter planes, and he spent a year in Korea where he achieved 2 victories in air combat. After that term of service was up, Buzz returned to civilian life, and he earned a doctorate in astronautics. He joined NASA as an engineer. This was the height of the space race. And when the opportunity came to apply for a position as astronaut, Buzz was again chosen. They took his application, they selected him, and Buzz was chosen to go to space. So he flew into space twice, once on the Gemini 12 mission and once on Apollo 11, where he made history by piloting the lander that landed on the moon. Here's a fun fact. You may have never heard this before. Buzz Aldrin at the time was also an elder in the Presbyterian Church. And Buzz Aldrin remains, he was the first and remains the only person so far to hold a religious ceremony on the moon. He actually, his pastor assembled a small communion kit for him. He took to the moon and celebrated the Lord's Supper on the moon by himself, which is, well, kind of strange, but kind of cool too, that would happen. And that, in fact, he remarked later that the only liquid poured, the only food brought and served and prepared on the moon was the Lord's Supper. And maybe that'll change in the future, but so far he's the first and only. Well, where was I? Buzz Aldrin, chosen. His dad chose him to enter the armed forces. The faculty at that military academy chose him for the privilege of selecting his assignment. When he graduated, he was chosen to become an astronaut. He was chosen to fly the lunar lander on that historic mission. And as we're thinking about being chosen for specific jobs, specific tasks, you know, we can say that in the church, each of us is chosen too. In the church, this is true. We don't choose our own positions. We're chosen. We don't take responsibility or authority for ourselves. We're chosen. And a great example, in the last month or so, we've chose a couple new elders to serve within our congregation. And then last week at a congregational voters meeting, again, we chose those men and confirmed them to serve as elders. The whole congregation had to consent to their service, and they did. When we fill our board of directors in the church, the folks who take care of the governance of our church and in lots of ways do their best to make sure that our church remains healthy, well, you don't just decide you're on that board. You don't campaign for the position. Instead, you are chosen. The congregation chooses you to serve on that role. For pastors, too, you know, I didn't decide I was going to be a pastor. I really didn't. I did several years ago. I felt that call that maybe I should be a pastor. I took steps to prepare myself. I went to seminary. I studied. I took a bunch of classes. And at the end of that process, the seminary faculty said, well, hey, we think he's ready. So they worked with the different congregations in our church body to let everyone know I was available and qualified, more or less. But I didn't decide to be a pastor. You all chose me. And I'm glad you did. So when it comes to the church, when it comes to serving God, we don't choose. We're chosen. And this is important for us today because some of the greatest questions we have today are, well, what am I supposed to do with my life? And what is God's will for me? How am I supposed to know that? And the fact that we are chosen means that we don't actually have to figure this out on our own. The church can help us. And we're going to see how that works. So let's look at our scripture reading. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, and in the short section of scripture, what we see is the church choosing two men to be missionaries. And so we'll read this again. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." What's happening in Antioch is that there is a healthy congregation of Christians there. They are learning, they are growing, they are faithfully serving the Lord. The congregation is displaying spiritual gifts. We hear too, teaching and prophecy, which are really cool, but also generosity. Back in Acts chapter 11, if we went back there, we could see how Luke tells us about the church. They took a collection in Antioch because the believers in Jerusalem were poor and they were suffering under the effects of a famine, so times were hard, and the church in Antioch took up a collection to send to those believers to help them out, and Saul and Barnabas had been entrusted with the task of delivering that money to Jerusalem. And our reading picks up as they have finished that mission and returned to Antioch in verse 25. That's the mission that Saul and Barnabas have completed. So Saul and Barnabas are there with several teachers and prophets, and they are chosen. Saul, of course, is also known as Paul. He's the great missionary of the early church. And right here is where Saul is actually sent off to pursue his life's journey, to share the gospel with people near and far. And there's two really important things that we learn from this account. The first thing we learn is that God really chooses particular people for particular tasks. When these people were gathered to pray and fast, it wasn't that Saul or Barnabas stood up and said, you know, hey guys, I think I really ought to go be a missionary. God actually spoke to them. It was the Holy Spirit who said to them, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. So God chose Barnabas and Saul to be missionaries. It was God's will. It was God's plan. That's the first thing we learn from this account, that God actually chooses us for particular kinds of service. And the second thing we see is that while God chose Barnabas and Saul, God also communicated that choice through his church, through his people. In verse 3, we read that after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them, and this is the elders of the church, they placed their hands on Barnabas and Saul and sent them off. So the church here publicly laid hands on Saul and Barnabas and sent them off to be missionaries. This act of laying on hands, it's one way that the church anoints people today. We've been talking about anointing for several weeks now, and I've said it several times, but just to help us remember that when we talk about anointing, it's just the church's way of setting someone apart, of selecting someone for a particular task or mission or position to serve. That's what anointing is. We set people apart for particular roles in the church, like being a pastor or a missionary. We sometimes set people apart for a particular task, like going on a journey, going on a short-term mission trip. And so what's happening when the church at Antioch lays their hands on Barnabas and Saul is that they are anointing these men to be missionaries. The church is setting these men apart for the task which the Holy Spirit has called them to do. The church is simply communicating what God has already decided. So God chooses us for service, and then God communicates that choice through his church. And now you might be thinking, you might be asking some questions in your head right now, because, you know, here I am, I'm saying that God chooses us for service, he communicates that choice through the church, and I said a little earlier that this can help us today to know what God's will for our lives in, excuse me, to help us know what God's will for our lives is. And now you might be thinking, wait a minute, you know, I haven't heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me lately. I haven't had a prophet come and tell me what God's plan is for my life. I haven't had a prophet tell me to go do some particular job for the church or for the world. Saul and Barnabas had the Holy Spirit speak to them. But isn't this process kind of different for us today? And my answer for you is really no. God still chooses us for particular tasks to serve the church and world, and God still communicates that choice through the church. God may not speak to you audibly with a voice from heaven, but he still speaks. Let me read for a moment from Romans chapter 12, another place where Paul talks about God choosing us for particular tasks. Paul says this: just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I know that we're familiar with talking about spiritual gifts in the church. When we talk about spiritual gifts, what are we saying? Is we're simply saying that God has given you personally some gift to help you serve the church and world. Some gift personally to help you participate in Jesus' mission in our lives. That's God's choice. And so another way to think about this is that God has chosen some of us to serve. He's chosen some of us to teach. He's chosen some of us to encourage. He's chosen some of us to give generously. He's chosen some of us to lead. He's chosen some of us to show mercy to those in need. God has given you a purpose in life. God has chosen you to live out your faith in particular ways, and he's given you a spiritual gift or gifts to help you do so. So how do you know what God's will is for your life? Well, I think the answer is to simply ask, what has God made you good at? What has God given you the ability to find joy in doing? Ask yourself what comes naturally, because that's your spiritual gift. That's what God has chosen you for. And all these gifts, we've got to say, we can't just use them in any way, but all of these gifts become truly spiritual gifts when we use them in spiritual ways and for spiritual purposes. So if you have a gift of serving, for example, and all you do with that is you become the best paid server at Applebee's with all the best tips, well, I can tell you that God has called you to something better. If you have a gift of serving and you use that to display the love and joy of Christ and true care and concern for your coworkers and your patrons at Applebee's, that's a spiritual gift used well. That is responding to God's call and choosing in your life. And I bet some of you thought I was just going to get down on Applebee's, didn't you? No. It's a fine place. I enjoy eating there. Where you work or what you do really isn't the point. The point is that your life reflects the love and the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. The point is that your life displays and shares the forgiveness that Jesus has given to you through his death on the cross and his resurrection, where he rescues you and me from sin and death and the devil and makes us new. And God has chosen you for particular tasks, particular ways of serving and showing that love in this world. And even though we don't have the Holy Spirit here speaking out loud to us, or we don't have a prophet here speaking God's word to us and saying, hey, you be a mother and you be a soldier, or you be a server, or you be a musician, or you be a builder, or you be a pastor, you be a businesswoman, you be a barista, whatever it may be, we still have the church. We still know that God has chosen us and gifted us to fulfill his will in our lives. So when you use your God-given gifts and you use them in a way that glorifies Christ and reflects his heart for the world, well, then you're doing what God has chosen you to do. You are being who God has chosen you to be. God still chooses us for service. And remember, the second thing that we learned too is that God chooses us for service, and he also communicates that choice through his church. Sometimes we do this in a very formal way. Sometimes we do this where we lay on hands to pray and set someone apart for service. We do this especially for, like church workers or missionaries who we're sending out. Sometimes we do this at certain times of life, like last week when we prayed for our young people who were being confirmed. But more often, God communicates these things through his church in simple ways, like when we encourage one another, when we look at a brother or a sister and we say, well, you know, hey, you made a really good point in Bible study today. That helped me understand something new. That helped me apply something to my life. We encourage one another. Maybe we say, hey, you know, you're a great artist. I think your gifts are used well to beautify the world, the church. We could say, hey, I think you sing very well. Or when we say, you're so friendly. When we say, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me, to sit with me while I'm hurting. When we say, hey, you're so organized, you get things done. Or just simply thank you for caring about me, or whatever. When we say these things, you are helping that person to know how God has gifted them. You're helping that person know what God has chosen them to do. So, today, this week, even right now, today before we leave this place, I want you to pay attention to the people around you and to their gifts. Because so often, you're the very last person to discover what you're good at. You're the very last person to discover what my gifts, my calling, what God has chosen me to do. That's obvious to everyone except me. So pay attention to the people around you today and to their gifts, and let them know how they're gifted. Could be a spouse, could be a friend, could be someone you sit with every week in church. Let them know how they're gifted. Let someone know if they're a good friend. Let someone know if they're a good listener. Let them know if they're a faithful servant. Let them know if they're a great encourager or they have any other gifts. And especially try to pay attention to and try to mention those gifts that maybe don't usually get mentioned. You know, people like, I'm going to pick on Pat, our worship leader. It's easy for everyone to say, hey, Pat, we love it when you sing. You've got a great voice. But we tend to overlook those people who serve quietly, who serve individually or in important ways that aren't seen. Let those servers know that they're great at serving. Let those mercy people know that they're great at showing mercy. Let those encouragers know that they're encouraging. Because we know that God chooses each of us. And he has a will and a plan for each of us. And he communicates his will through his people, through his church. Whether that's a public laying on hands or a quiet compliment in the hallway. And together, we can really be the church that is fully engaged. We can be the church that is fully mobilized, and each one of us loving or serving or sharing or encouraging or teaching or leading or showing mercy according to God's will for us, according to God's choosing. Together, we can show the love of Jesus in the way that God has given us, each of us individually, to show that love to our family, to our friends, our neighbors, and our community. Amen. Let's stand.